Blog Talk Radio.
Customary impurity, that means motley period or menstruation. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally or sexually with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. And you shall not let any of your descendants, your children, pass to the fire of Molech or sacrifice, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. It is not a thing to do. What is it that you do not understand about you should not lie with a male as with a woman? That to me means no same-sex relations. It's disgusting. An abomination means disgusting. That's a disgusting thing to do. For those of you who believe in the Bible, let's repent. Nor shall you mate with any beast to defile yourself with it. Nor shall a woman stand before a beast to mate with it. It is a perversion. That's a deviant sexual practice. According to the Bible, that is not normal. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoos, any marks on you. I am your Lord. I have read to you from the book of Leviticus, that's spelled Leviticus, chapter 18, verses 19 through 23, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. 28. Let's have a word of prayer. My Father, our Father in heaven, creator of all in the earth, thank you for this day and every day that you allow us to live. We say thank you for your love, your mercy, patience, forgiveness, wealth, wisdom, protection from the evil one, and from seen and unseen dangers. And Heavenly Father, do not allow us sheep to accept the mark of the beast as spoken of in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 16. Amen. Amen. Hi there, sheep. This is the Feed My Sheep show. You're listening to Sandra Harris, your hostess. Happy Sabbath, everybody. And happy Daddy's Day tomorrow, or Papa's Day. I say that because in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 10, we are not to call anyone on earth our father. For one is your father, and he is in heaven. Now, you sheep know the routine. Those of you who have been listening to me for the past year and a half, you're to have your Bible. I have my Bible is a New King James Version, and it might read a little different from yours. Your pen or pencil, and, of course, your paper. You might want to write something down that I will say. And, of course, I want you to have a cold glass of water where you can sip on it as I talk with you for the next 27 minutes or so. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 31. Now, I left off at verse 38 the last time, but I think it's important that I start at verse 31 so that you can get the gist of everything. Let me just have a word of prayer to ask God to help me to read this scripture, these scriptures, with clarity and within the time that I am allowed. My Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I thank you for giving me the courage to do your will. And always let me be about your will. And help me to, as always, read what you have written as it is written with clarity, so that your sheep will understand and hear, as well as me too. I pray to you. Amen. Now, are you at the chapter 26, Matthew? This is where Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Let's start reading. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Sometimes we need to be careful of what we say. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. We really should be careful what we say, because when crunch time comes, it becomes all about ourselves. We don't want to do sometimes what we say we will do or will not do. Let's pick up reading at verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. Now, Gethsemane is at the foot of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, and that there's a garden. Again, the garden is called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there to pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. The two sons of Zebedee are James and John. And you'll find that in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, where I talked about, I gave you the names of the disciples. He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. See, let me tell you, for years and years I have heard this passage, but I never understood what that cup was until I began to do my assignment, what Jesus is talking about. Let this cup pass from me. That is his assignment. He knows that he is about to be killed. And he's asking God to let this cup pass. He didn't want to do his assignment, just as I did not want to do my assignment, which is to feed my sheep and to minister unto the people. But I am so glad that I'm now obedient. Let's continue reading at verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And temptation, that is to stumble. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. I'm thinking Satan made their eyes heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, he who betrays me is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. And now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. And Jesus said to him, friend, why is it you have come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish. In other words, for perish is die by the sword. Or do you think I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? A legion is 3,000 to 6,000 troops of angels. Then how could the scriptures be fulfilled? That is, if he prayed and the troops came, the troop of angels came, that it must happen thus. So he did not pray for those angels. He did not pray for the legion of angels. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out against me as a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me." But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him. They ran away. They gave up. They forsook him and fled. And those who had laid hands of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Now they are, those people are called the Sanhedrin, the chief priests. Let me read that again so you'll know who the Sanhedrin are. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward. And the high priest arose. Oh, excuse me, I almost skipped the scripture. And he said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." Now, that was an important scripture that the devil almost made me skip. But I'm not blaming on him. And the high priest arose and said to him, he arose and said to Jesus, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that those men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I adjure you." That means, tell the truth by the living God, that you tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." So in other words, Jesus is saying yes. "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy." And I've told you before that blasphemy is like curse, profane, or it's to speak something sacred, to speak about God. In this case, the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes did not believe Jesus. So he's saying that Jesus has spoken blasphemy. Let me read that again. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face, and they beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Now, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know the man. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, because your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear. So I'm thinking that this is where they say that Peter cussed like a sailor. Let me read that again, and then I want to turn to Matthew chapter 16, where Peter had said that Jesus was the Son of God. Let's see. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered. Let me go to Matthew chapter 16 right quick and read that. Verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon bar Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And see, when crunch time comes, this is what we do. We deny, or we'll say things like, I won't do this. Like earlier, Peter had said, I will never be made to stumble. But he did. You know, and he denied. What else? He said he would never, I'm trying to find where he would never, Peter said, even if I was made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus told him that before the rooster crows, you will deny him three times. Then Peter again said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Here it is, Peter. I'm thinking Peter's life is on the line because people are asking him and saying, surely you are with Jesus because your speech betrays you. And again, then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered, and the word of Jesus who had said to him, I read that wrong, let me read again. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then he went out and wept bitterly. Well, see, I've read to you the rest of chapter 26, and at our next meeting, we will pick up reading at chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27. But there is something that has bothered me for a while since I read it because I didn't know what it was. And I read it is the abomination of desolation that is found in chapter 24, verse 15. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. And I am to be able to feed the sheep where you will understand what abomination of desolation is. So in I read Daniel Thursday night, and I'm going to read it again right now. I'm thinking that the abomination of desolation is a person or a ruler of some place, and that is he's going to be standing in the holy place. So the holy place that I'm thinking of, really, that most people know about, that's over in Rome. So I'm thinking that the abomination of desolation is in Rome, but that that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. After I finished reading chapters 27 and 28 of Matthew, I am going to go back and read the book of Daniel so that we can get an understanding of what the abomination of desolation is or who that is. Well, it's time for our closing prayer. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, our Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I pray that your sheep have learned what it is that you want them to know for this day, and let them remember it and go and read it for themselves. I pray your blessing upon us and to protect us from the evil one always. And we thank you for giving us this day our daily bread and forgiving us our debts as we forgive us our debts. Amen. Sheep, I want you to go out and get the book, How to Eat and Live Longer, by Dr. Reginald Eadie, as well as I want you to go to Amazon.com and purchase my book if you have an iPad or a Kindle. It's called The Broken Plant. Remember, I want you to take our Heavenly Father with you everywhere you go. And excuse me, The Broken Plant is written by yours truly, Sandra Harris. And if it is God's will, I will be with you next time.
got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love and his wisdom will be our helping hand.